Okay, in this week's parasha, Kisisa, we have Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayoyma, Hareino es Kvaidecho. He wants to see the glory of the Rabbani Shloim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him that V'reisas HaChoyroi, you can see me from the back, but upon my face, lo yiro, you shall not see. And Rashi says, he showed him kesha shel tefillin. He showed him the knot of his tefillin. What does this mean? So what was this question that he said, show me your glory? Obviously the glory of the Rabbani Shloim. So the Gemara in Brachas explains it. What it means is, Gemara in Brachas Daf Zayin, it says, Moshe was asking Rabbani Shloim, why is that tzaddik v'raloi, a rosh of a tovloi? You see tzaddikim, they live miserable lives, rishoyim living wonderful, happy, exciting lives. Why is it like that? It doesn't seem fair at all. Explain me your ways. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him. One way you could understand the pasuk is, v'ro'isi is achoyroi. Chazam Soif explains it like this. You can see achoyroi means after the ma'isa. In front, while things are happening, you don't understand. But afterwards, look back, you'll understand then. We question the Rabbani Shlom. That's because we don't understand what's really happening. But after 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us our whole lives. We'll understand everything. There was an old man, somebody once said to him, how come you lived so long? So he said, because other people, they say, Rabbani Shloim, why did you do this? They question the Rabbani Shloim. This is not fair. That's not fair. Why did you do this thing? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to know why? No problem. Come here, I'll show you. This man said, I never questioned the Rabbani Shloim. That's why I lived long. So, Chazal say, what was in the tefillin of the Rabbani Shloim? Mi ka'amcho Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. Who is like Klal Yisrael? Ribbono Shel Olam was answering Moshe. You ask a kasha, why is it tzaddik v'ra'lo? Why do people suffer? I can tell you one thing, says Ribbono Shel Olam. Look at my kesher shel tefillin. Your tefillin, you cannot be mesiach das from. It means the Ribbono Shel Olam does not stop thinking about Klal Yisrael. Mi ka'amcho Yisrael goy echot, the Ribbono Shel Olam carries with him wherever he goes. So you can be sure that everything Ribbono Shel Olam does is l'toiv. Just we can't always see it right away. That is the pshat in Parashas Bereishis. I've mentioned this once before, that Bereishis starts off with Bereishis, Bara, Lekim. The Soif Teva is our Bereishis as a Sof, Bara is an Aleph, Lekim is a Mem, Emes. But the Emes is out of order. The Emes is there, but we can't see the Emes. You get to the end of Maisa Bereishis, Vayichud Hashemam Varetz. How does it end off with? Asher Bara, Elekim, La'azois. Bara is an Aleph, Elekim, Mem, La'azois is a Sof. The emes, you see the emes. At the beginning, you don't see the emes. You get to the end of the story, then you see the emes. The Skolya Rebbe, about 15 years ago, was visiting Monsi, and he said over, why is it Mishnichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha? What's the excitement of Adar that we have this Simcha? So he said that there's a halacha in the Megillah, HaKurei Megillah Mafreya Lo Yotze Dechavosai. You read the Megillah backwards, you're not Yotze. Why is it you're not Yotze? You get the whole story if you read it backwards. So he said, the point of the Megillah is, you read the beginning of the Megillah, and you wonder, a party, Vashti is dying, Haman, big son and Zeresh, nothing seems to make sense. A lot of random events that don't seem to have any connection with each other. And you get to the end of the story, everything ties together, and you understand the ways of the Rabbani Shloim. If you read it backwards, you know the end of the story first, you're losing the point of the Megillah. The point is to have the questions and then see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everything in the end. How the Rabbani Shloim was there all along, just in a hidden way. So when a person sees this story of Purim, and he sees the Rabbani Shloim was there for Klal Yisrael, everybody knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Klal Yisrael in his tefillin. Mi kamcha Yisrael goyecha ba'aretz. So Mishenichtas Adar, when we come into Adar and we see the Purim story, it makes us have simcha in our own lives. People have difficulty, questions, why, what? But you see, in the end, it all worked out in our lives also. In the end, we'll understand. It'll all work out in the end. In this week's parasha, we have the beginning about the Keteris. And in davening, for those rare people who say the parasha of Keteris, but don't forget, it's a school of Panosa, so that does encourage some people to say it. It says, Tanya Reb Nos Noime, Kushu Shoichik Oime Hodek Hetev. When you grind the Keteris, the person who's grinding it says, grind it thoroughly, grind it well. Voice, sound is good for the b'somim. Chazal tell us, k'shem sha'kol yofa l'b'somim, just like sound is good for the b'somim, ha'kol ra l'yayin, sound is bad for wine. What does that mean? The pshat is, if you had to choose something that represents gashmias, it would be wine. Wine gets people happy. I certainly don't have to tell Bochrim the milers of wine and talk about that. They understand that, the geschmack of wine, or at least what it can produce. If you wanted to pick something ruchnius, to symbolize ruchnius, the best thing is smell, reyach. Because Chazal tell us, what is it the neshama gets hanor and not the guf? That smell, b'somim. So therefore, k'shem sha'kol yofa l'b'somim, just like sound is good for ruchnius to talk, Ruchnius is good to talk about Ruchnius, talk and learning. Hakol ra l'yayin. Talking is bad for Gashmias. Try and memayit as much as you can. Coming up to Pesach soon, and I heard a remez like this. One of the rebbes said, Kaddish, a person wants to be Kaddish himself. Urchatz, he cleanses himself. How does he cleanse himself? Karpas. Karpas is Rosh HaTeves. Klal, Rishon, Peh, Sogur. The first klal is, keep your mouth closed. Yachatz, magid. Magid what you say, yachatz. Even what you have to say, cut that in half too. Also, we say in Zemiris, Azoy la'shevsim bashvi'i, bechoresh uvekotzer olamim. For those of you who say Kol Mekadosh, who sing that Zemiris, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those who rest on Shabbos, from plowing and from harvesting. But you can explain it also, Azroi la'shoisim b'shvi'i, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those that rest on Shabbos. Where do they rest from? Bechorish. The word chorish also means, a chorish is silence. Those people keep silent on Shabbos. And what you have to talk, that's on Shabbos, keeping silent. Bekotzer, to talk a little, that's olamim, that's always. On Shabbos, a person is trying to cut out talking. On a weekday, bekotzer, at least cut down. We see in Shulchan Aruch, it says, V'dabedover, shlehi deburcha shel Shabbos ke deburcha shel Chol. What you speak on Shabbos shouldn't be the same as on a weekday. And the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, it's also l'dabed binyanei Chol on Shabbos. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg is a Tanis Dibur every Shabbos. Even in Yonim they're mutter to speak about normally. On Shabbos you're supposed to not speak. And there's a remez in the pasuk in this week's parasha, Bechorish. On Shabbos it's supposed to be Chorish. He's silent completely from Yoni Choyl. Bekotzer, he's supposed to be Bekotzer, even the Dvorim Mitorim, Tishbois. He should be rest from on Shabbos. There's a beautiful story, Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz, which the Sefer Leif Shlomo Shvadron brings down, that he learned in a Koydel. He was given by his father-in-law a very large nadin. He was very wealthy. Enough money to live for the rest of his life. But next door his kodel, they built a church. And they would ring the church bells. And this bothered the young guy in the kodel, would disturb them from their learning. And there was nothing they could do. The church was very powerful. And there was nothing they could do about it. But his chavrusa was one of those people who don't sit still and do nothing. And one night, in the middle of the night, he broke into the church, went up to the belfry, cut down the church bells, took them and threw them in the river. The church, the next day they saw about it, got them very angry, of course. The church was very powerful then. They did a major investigation. They found out it was him. And he was arrested. And there was a possibility that he was going to get a death sentence. You don't start up with the church in those days. And the Yidden saw there was nothing they could do about it. But they found out that one of the guards in the jail accepted bribes. So he asked him how much money he would want to let him go, to release him. So he told him an enormous sum. And they started fundraising for it. It was a huge sum. And they were worried because the amount of time it would take them to raise the money, by then he could be killed. Rabbi Yonah Snaibishitz heard about it. He came to them and he gave them his whole nut and his whole dowry. He paid the whole thing, he said. He has enough money for his lifetime. He gave it all to them, and this was enough to release him. So they said, no problem, we'll take your money. Afterwards, we'll fundraise, and we'll pay you back. We'll collect the money. So he said, no, it's fine. You don't have to pay me back. They were happy. They have to do fundraising. Ask any reshiva. You have to do fundraising. That's pretty geschmack. And so they left. They gave the money. His charusa was released, and he fled for his life. Rabbi Yonah Snaibishitz had now a slight technical problem. He has to somehow explain to his wife that they won't have food for supper tomorrow night, considering they were wealthy till now. And you have to find a nice way to break that news to her. So he decided that when she first hears about it, she's going to get tremendous chaos, very angry, but she's a tzedekis, she'll calm down, she'll appreciate the value of the mitzvah. So I've got to first is, she's got to calm down a little bit. So the best is, he said, is I'll go away for a few days, and when I come back, she'll hear about it while I'm away. And when I come back, she'll have calmed down, and I'll explain to her the value of the mitzvah. So he goes away for a few days. The next day, this person, the guard who released the man from jail, he comes to Rabbi Yonah Snaibishitz's house, and he tells the Rebbe that he'd like to speak to Rabbi Yonah Snaibishitz. She says, he's not home. So he says that I released this man from jail, and I was bribed to do that. And now they're after me. If they catch me, I'm going to be hanged. I have to run for my life. I cannot take with me all the money that I've collected from my husband, many other people, jewelry, different things I have. I need to leave it safely somewhere. There's nobody I trust, but I heard what your husband did. He paid the whole money to save his friend. Only a very special person would do that. I can trust people like that. I'm going to leave my money by you. I'll pay you for it afterwards. Take care of it. And if anything happens to me, I have no relatives. You can keep the money. And so he left the money there. 24 hours later, she hears that he was caught and hanged. And now they have all this money. A few days later, Rabbi Yonah Snaibishitz comes home and knocks at the door. He has this, feeling a little uncomfortable, a timid look in his face. He gets to the door. His wife opens the door and she says, "Oy, Baruch Hashem, you came home. The tzaddik is home. Don't worry, the Rebbe Shalom paid us back kifle kiflein. He paid us back dabble." He says, "What are you talking about?" She explained to him what happened. As soon as she told Rabbi Yonah Snaibishitz these words, he burst out crying. She says, "What is it? What is it?" He says, "We did an unbelievable mitzvah, what I did. An unbelievable mitzvah. And the Rebbe Shalom has taken that mitzvah and thrown it back in my face. He wanted to pay me off right away for the mitzvah. Yeah, it's a nice mitzvah. But he paid me the schar right away. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Obviously, well, there's something wrong with the mitzvah I did. What is it that I did wrong?" And then he said, "I know. I know what I did wrong. That the whole town wanted to be involved in pidyon shvuim. They all wanted to give money, but I didn't let. I said, I'm doing it all. I didn't let anybody else be mishtatav. And not letting other people mishtatav was wrong. They all wanted a chedik in that mitzvah, such a tremendous mitzvah. I should have let them. So Rabbi Yishlom paid me back now." And he explains, that's pshat in the posik, ha'osha lo yarbe hadal lo yamit. There are certain mitzvahs that Rabbi Yishlom wants. The rich man gives the same as the poor man. Everybody's equal. Everybody can be shtatav. Everybody in Klal Yisrael can have a chelik. But what I always took out from this story is that very often in life, we wonder, why should I ask somebody at Talmud Chacham? What's the point of asking him? I'm smart, he's smart. I can think myself what to do. But you see sometimes how they see things differently. I know if such a story would have happened to me, I'd have been dancing for joy. Thank you, Rabbi Yishlom. Wow, great, thank you. I never would have thought there's something wrong with it. I would have thought it was right. They see things with a different cook, a different look at it. That's why you have to go and ask Eitzes from Gedolim. They see things that we can't always see. Okay, good job.